Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture.
Is there anything wrong with utilitarianism as we've looked at it so far, mostly through Bentham? Was there anything in the theory or in its implications where you said, I don't like this, I think that they're going off track here, or this would be a dangerous thing for people to actually take as their moral guidance? Was there anything about it that you thought was off? Yeah.
It kind of says that you can do something bad as long as it doesn't hurt people and it makes you happy.
Okay. Do bad things if... I'll just put down if pleasure outweighs pain. I mean, you could even, like, do bad things to yourself if it made other people happy. Like, if it was really entertaining for me to torture myself and, like, broadcast it on the internet and, like, make millions of people happy by doing that, then maybe it sounds like that would be a great thing as a utilitarian to do. Just it's my pain, millions of people's pleasure. Anything else?
It's kind of hard to follow just because it takes into account all the affected parties. So sometimes you might be doing something that's like not good for you or better for everybody else. So it's not necessarily easy to go by.
Okay.
But
it affects everyone. That's a pretty important one. It's hard to apply in some respects. You have to like figure out how every possible person would be affected if you're going to really do it the way you ought to. You probably ought to print out a lot of those handouts, those worksheets that I made you guys. You know, if you're going to be a utilitarian, you carry them around in your bag. Or for guys, maybe get yourself a legal pad and carry them around. You're using them a lot. What else? What are other things that struck you? Yeah.
I don't know if we considered like long-term pleasure versus a short-term pleasure. You know, like what may be pleasurable now for everyone may long-term like be disadvantageous to somebody.
Bentham talks about it. He does note that we should give greater weight to short-term pleasure than to long-term pleasure, or pain, too.
Well, what if one is at the expense of the other?
You want to say that we should pay more attention to long-term pleasure?
Yeah.
Okay, so not enough weight given long-term versus short-term pleasure. Okay. Anything else that made you nervous or suspicious? Or where you said, I think they're just wrong, these guys. Are there any values or goods that that you think are really important that might be sacrificed by taking the utilitarian perspective? Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, there might be situations in which you aren't like the person receiving the pleasure. Like from a utilitarian perspective, you might have to sacrifice in order to like achieve the greatest good.
Okay.
So it doesn't make sense from your perspective, I guess you're not. You're not receiving the ultimate pleasure that you want.
Okay. You have to sacrifice own happiness. Okay. So these are some good objections. These are some real issues. They're not the only ones that could be raised, but I think that these are pretty common ones that come up. And what we want to ask is, can Mill address these sorts of things? Some of these he actually does address in the criticisms that we'll look at in just a minute. But I wanted to get your criticisms because I think it's important to make this contemporary. It's important to bring these things up to date. So this is always going to be a problem. It looks like you can do bad things if the net pleasure outweighs the pain. So we can do things, horrible things to people that might be lasting an entire lifetime. For example, we have about 20 people in this classroom. Let's say we're now a community and we're going to live together the rest of our lives. Now, we could do things democratically and elect a leader and, you know, like have representation and work things out by consensus and, like, you know, divvy up the jobs and each person takes a turn. But let's say that I just seize power because I'm, you know, I'm the professor and I say, you know, I think what would be best for the community would be from this side over, you guys are now slaves. And the rest of us are going to take it easy. Because you're going to do all the work, all the time. Your life, I'm very sorry to, you shouldn't stand on that side today. It's an unfortunate luck of the draw. Your life is going to be crap. A lot of pain. very little pleasure. Because the pleasure is going to be for us. But look, there's like three times as many of us as there are of you. So it works out so much better for everybody overall. You know, if there's any consolation in that, it's that you're contributing to the greater good your whole life. They're not going to like that, right? They're like, I don't want to be a slave. This is a crappy deal for me. Are any of the rest of you bothered by this notion? That now your life is going to be enjoyable because we're going to make them work like dogs and deprive them of all sorts of pleasures because there's three times as many of us. If you're bothered by that, then this is a real objection because it kind of does sound like that, doesn't it? Mill's not going to respond to that criticism in the stuff that we're looking at in this section. He's going to respond to that in the stuff about justice. So I'm going to defer that one. Hard to follow because it takes everyone into account. This is falling into the sort of genre of criticism of it's just too tough to apply. And that's a criticism that does get made of utilitarianism. If you worry, actually, I mean, think about it. You not only have to take everybody into account, what does that mean? You actually have to figure out everybody's pleasures and pains. So you have to do a lot of empirical research in order to make this work. Then you have to, like, you know, make your best guesstimates, as we say, in order to do this. Can you imagine, like, whipping out some ledger sheet every time you have to make a moral decision about what you ought to do? It'd be very impractical, wouldn't it? Also, that would be unpleasurable. So the theory itself would dampen the amount of pleasure in the world. We'll come back to that. Not enough weight given to long-term pleasures. Mill can address that. Mill says that we ought to be thinking about the happiness involved in a whole human life. So that one will be addressed. And then finally, you might have to sacrifice your own happiness for others. That is an interesting objection, because from a utilitarian perspective, you're right. There will be cases where the right thing to do, it might even not just be your own happiness, your own life. You might have to sacrifice your own life, your own ideals, in order to benefit the community. Is that a reason to not be utilitarians, or to say utilitarianism is a bad moral theory? Let's leave that one hanging there. And now let's look at the criticisms that Mill takes on. And I have 7 of them listed, one of which we're going to defer. The first one is sort of a, you got things totally wrong criticism. It's utilitarians are don't get fucked. So, you know, when we hear about utilitarian design or, you know, taking a utilitarian approach to things, well, oftentimes people think that means leaving out ornamentation or beauty or any of the things that we take pleasure in. If I had a tie on today, I'll get something that'll keep my neck warm and don't worry about whether it actually matches my clothes or not. A utilitarian would be like, look, it's a tie, serves its purpose just fine. It doesn't matter how it looks. The rest of you, you know, they're looking at me and they're like, God, that's not a tie. I wish you wouldn't wear that. That's sort of garbage in here. Well, utilitarians do actually care about pleasure, even artistic pleasure, right? You could be in the fashion industry and be a utilitarian. You could be a musician and be a utilitarian. You just want to create the most pleasure for everybody. So if you were a musician, you might not play the violin, you might play the electric guitar instead, because you could probably please more people more quickly learning guitar than you can violin, you know, things like that. So that's an easy objection to deal with. Another popular objection is utilitarians are only about pleasure. So it's a philosophy fit for pigs. It's animalistic. It's just these pleasure seekers. And that's all they care about. They don't care about how anybody else is affected, or, you know, whether they cultivate themselves, or about education, or you know, family life. It's just give me as much pleasure as possible, or let's spread out as much pleasure as possible. Let's just drink and eat and have sex and sleep in and otherwise do nothing, and that'll be like the ideal existence. And then people are like, well, about cultivation. What about nobility? What about what's distinctively human? Mill has an answer to that. So I'm gonna put that one off because that's a big answer. Some people say happiness can't be the goal for a rational human life. Now, this is an interesting objection. Notice that none of you made this objection, because you probably all do believe that happiness is a goal. There are some people who say happiness is just unattainable. You can never really be happy, so forget trying to make people happy. Some people say, what right do you have to be happy? You're lucky you even exist. Who are you to talk about pleasure and pain and put things in perspective? And then other people say, you know, if you want to actually develop as a human being, you need to engage in renunciation and giving things up so that you can develop virtue, so you can develop moral character. These are the parents who take away, you know, they give the kid candy and then they take it away and say, toughen up, this is going to be good for you. What kind of kid does that turn out to be when they become an adult? Either a kid who like wants all the candy bars in the store, or another person who like takes candy bars away from kids and says, toughen up. Mill says, wait a second, why can't happiness be a goal for rational human life? It is possible to be happy. That means to have more pleasures than pains. And who are you to want to be happy? Well, you're a human being. That's the way human beings are. We do want to be happy. So it's kind of nonsensical to say, why are you entitled to be happy? And then, you know, what about this renunciation thing? Why do people give things up? What are things that you have given up? You've all given up, you know, doing whatever the hell you want by becoming marriage students. You have to go through all sorts of things all the time, like doing homework, showing up to class. I'm sure some of you have jobs that you have to show up to. You can't just wear whatever you like or do whatever you like or say whatever you like. You've given a lot of things up, haven't you? Why? Let's just take going to marriage. Why are you guys sitting here in an ethics class on a lovely afternoon and in a beautiful fall in the Hudson Valley when you could be outside having a great time? Now maybe you're actually asking yourself, why the hell am I here?
For a greater future?
Okay, now why do you value that greater future? Because it's going to be more sacrifices and renunciation? It's going to offer me the chance to renounce things and to make myself miserable on an even greater scale. Is that your job plan for any of you? I hope not, because if it is, let me talk to you after class and try to talk you out of that. I'm not even a utilitarian, and that would be crazy from other perspectives. Because you think it's going to make you happy, right? Going to Marist, if it's not making you happy already, and it could, is going to be part of your greater happiness. So, you know, sacrifice, we make sacrifices for the sake of happiness, not just to say that there is no such thing. Here's another interesting one. Utilitarianism makes people cold and calculating. Makes us look at each transaction that we go into. What is the greatest good that's going to come out of this? How should I calculate this? Should I go to my kid's recital? Or should I sit home and play video games? Or go out to the bar with my friends? Which is going to give the greatest happiness, the greatest balance of pain for pleasure? This balance of pleasure over pain to the community at large. It's just one kid. He or she's going to be very disappointed. But, you know, if I go and hang out at the bar with all my friends, they're going to be very happy. There's something weird about somebody who would actually think things out that way and then decide not to go to their kid's recital or not to go to the bar. I won't go to the bar because there would be a greater quanta of unhappiness created for my kid and for my spouse, who's had enough of this sort of nonsense. From making the calculations before, then the quanta of pleasure that would be created in the bar, friends. Does that strike you as a real criticism? Utilitarians are all going to behave this way. They're not going to be concerned about personal relationships or, you know, their friends or qualities. There's no necessary inference there. This is not a real criticism. Utilitarianism is a godless doctrine. In the sense that it doesn't rely on any revealed religious principles. Remember, Bentham and Mill are writing to a society of people who routinely do read the Bible and view Christianity as this sort of developed pinnacle of religion and also of morality. We've lost quite a bit of that in our culture, but there's still a lot of people who see things like that. And so maybe if you're looking at utilitarianism, you say, I don't need this. I've got the Bible. I've got the Ten Commandments. Or, I don't see you talking about God at all, and God's important to me, and God's important to a lot of other people, too. So where are you going to bring that in? Well, Mill says it's not really godless. It just credits God with being a utilitarian. That might strike you as a bit odd. But, you know, think this through from a utilitarian perspective. If God is a good God, how is God going to behave, and how is God going to want us to behave? Is God going to really want us to single out just a few people for happiness and say, the rest of those bastards, let them burn? Or is God going to want us to promote human happiness? I mean, if you read the Gospels, this Jesus guy, he sure seems to be about making people happier, doesn't he? He heals people of their illnesses. He doesn't say, suffer, it's good for you. He heals them. And presumably that's a good thing. He even heals like people that are seen as scum, who other people won't associate with. Every once in a while he gets mad and you know, whips some money changers or things like that. But on the whole, he's, you know, if you're utilitarian, you look at the big picture, he's counseling, be nice to other people, right? Treat them well. Clothe the naked. Feed the hungry. Do the sort of things that a utilitarian would do. So I leave this up to you to decide whether utilitarianism really looks that much like Christianity, because I think there's a little bit more to the story than that. But that's where Mill is going with it. Another criticism is that utilitarian relies on what's expedient rather than on principle. This is another variation of the utilitarianism will allow us to do bad things that go against moral principles because they're useful, because they benefit more people overall than they harm. So if we wanted to engage in bullying, say, for example, right? Pick something random that only one person has. So you use sunglasses, but we both got sunglasses. All right, what kind of pendant is that you've got? What stone is it?
It's turquoise.
All right, let's all pick on the turquoise pendant-wearing person and then make fun of her, and we'll all have a good time at your expense. And it'll pay off in greater pleasure than pain. Why does that strike you as being bad? Because somebody told you, don't bully other people, right? That's a moral principle for you, I think. Maybe we can trace that back to other principles. We shouldn't treat people unfairly. Doesn't it look like utilitarianism requires us to give up these principles? And he says, well, I mean, that's not really an objection. We're going to find out that utilitarianism shows us that most principles are useful to us. Most of these principles are held to be good because they produce greater pleasure over pain. And then finally, I'm just going to put too complicated. You can't be a utilitarian because you'd have to carry out these utility calculations every time you get into a situation. And who's got the time for that? And where are you going to get all this information from? You'd have to be like a supercomputer in order to do this sort of thing. Now, does that strike you as a valid objection? Yeah.
I think, yeah, because to follow utilitarianism actually, like, to find, like the guidelines of it, you couldn't meet both at once, which therefore make you not actually following it.
Well, now, is it possible to follow something generally without actually being 100%?
Yeah, but then I would say that you follow some of its principles rather than actually being able to call yourself a follower of the principle itself.
You know, Mill makes an interesting comparison here. He says, think about Christians. Do they whip out the Bible and consult the entirety of the Old and New Testament in every single case where they have to do the Christian thing? They'd never get done. Let's just say there weren't any contradictions between different cases and principles and stuff like that. It would be an incredibly cumbersome way to do things. Do we say that people don't behave in a Christian manner because of that? They follow general guidelines. You know, even just following the stuff that it says in the Sermon on the Mount, if you ever look at those, you know, those rules about things, those are tough. And they're mostly about how to do good to other people. The Beatitudes, if somebody strikes you on the cheek, turn them the cheek. There's things about, well, that doesn't mean doing it forever. Hey, I have a hard time even just turning it once. I think a lot of people do. Does that mean that they're not endorsing Christianity or they're not behaving like a Christian? If they don't follow every single thing? If we look at utilitarianism that way, then maybe that objection isn't as strong as an objection. Maybe we should try to do that in cases where we have the time. We should do studies. We should see how much people are benefited or harmed. But if I got to decide on the spot, if I'm a utilitarian and I have to decide on the spot about a trolley problem, you know, and it's one person versus five people, perhaps even myself as one person, I can make a split-second decision and make the right decision because I'm following the general guidelines of the greatest happiness principle.
Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.